Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Hey, podcast listeners, this is Rod Peterson. Be sure to join Dupes and me in Houston, Texas, this December from the 5th to the 10th. I guarantee you we'll be checking in on the Texans and the Broncos on NFL Sunday, plus two live shows with all our football buddies, including George Cortez and Don Narcisse. If you've always wanted to see a college football game and it's on your bucket list, why not join us in Houston for a college football playoff game? We're waiting on the Houston Rockets NBA schedule, but if they're home, one of the hottest teams in the NBA will be part of the trip. Check us out now at rodpeterson.com/trip, and thanks to Uniglobe for putting it on.
Oh yeah, he's back. The crack of the bat, the ping of the crossbar, and the roar of the crowd. We cover everything you want to talk about. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show on a Tuesday, July 23rd, 2019. This is hour one of the program on episode number 37. We're coming to you from the bunker, from the province that is easy to draw, hard to spell. This is the warm-up. Rod Peterson with you. Darren DuPont over there. I'm George. He's Wheezy. Look it up.
How did you know?
Marshall Hamilton knows what it is. Do you have any idea what that reference is, George and Wheezy?
As soon as you said George, I thought it was a Seinfeld reference.
No, but look it up.
Not.
Look it up. I'm very excited about today's program, other than the fact that I got in here late, later than normal. Hello, I'm over here. Hi, thanks. It's a very clean program today. You know, not a lot of in and out, not a lot of video chat. It's clean. We got Stampeders and Riders alum Marshall Hamilton and Wes Cates coming in. Marshall can add Ticats to his bio as well, and he's over there on the sponsors couch, which I understand we will have sponsors in here today. Actually, we got new sponsors. I don't know if I told you. We will be reading those as the program goes along.
Exciting.
I'm a little frazzled, as you can probably tell. My mind's racing in different directions. Not in a bad way, but the day started really early for me, up and on the air with TSN 1260 Edmonton Radio with Dustin Nielsen and Lieutenant Eric for a recap of week 6 in the CFL. Everybody's asking about Gainer the Gopher, of course. And then I was on the radio in Lloydminster after that. Try to sneak a workout in with this new phone. My Evolution Fitness app doesn't work, right? Yeah. It's just, everything's happening. None of it's bad. Just saying, late getting in here, later than normal. And we will have on video chat today, David William Naylor of TSN, CFL insider from TSN, Dave Naylor. So that's cool. This morning's news, a lot of things that I want to get to today. Calgary's getting a new arena. Bravo, Calgary.
Yep.
I think we all agree. $550 million structure for the Flames only, but also the Hitmen and the Roughnecks. But the Stampeders, last I checked, won't be playing there, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
So the Stampeders continue to be the neglected stepchild of the Calgary sports landscape. But I get it. The Flames are the priority there. That's the way that it goes. Mm-hmm. We will get to the Gainer thing in a moment. I was sent this morning a note that you gotta check the latest video from the YouTube sensation Destroying. You're familiar with him, right?
Yeah, but somewhat.
This is the Argos' third string kicker / punter. I don't even know his name. I just know him by Destroying. And I got sent a note, said, you got to watch this. He's ripping the CFL. This Argos punter. I'm like, oh boy, what's this going to be? I got sucked into watching the 15-minute video. This is a YouTube sensation. A lot of people know what I'm talking about. A lot of people do not. He's a YouTube star. He's kicking for the Argos, allegedly. 7 minutes in, I almost shut it off, but I'm like, I've gone this far. I got to watch it all. He's complaining about being the third string kicker for the Argos, the amount of money that he's making or not making on the practice roster of the Argos, how he's being mistreated and abused by the Argos. And I'm like, welcome to life, brother.
Yeah.
Like, what? I wrote a few notes. Well, I didn't write a lot of notes down. I can just go off the top of my head here. A, if you were better than you actually are, you'd be the first stringer. Let's just start there. Two, he said that he's only on the Argos, he thinks, allegedly, because of his YouTube followers and Instagram followers. He said that they took he took them from 75,000 followers, the Argos account, to 125,000, and that's why he's there. So what? Corey Chamberlain refers to him as YouTube, almost like the coach doesn't even know my name.
Hey, YouTube.
Hello. You're lucky that you're even there. If it's that bad, then quit. As Sam Mitchell, right, the Raptors coach, former coach said, do us all a favor and quit. Go down and get a job, and I will guarantee you, you won't have 500,000 views of your job at the car wash. They're there because you're a pro football player. You know, at various times through this video, he's saying, but I'm grateful, but I'm grateful. No, you're not. You're just saying that, but you're not. And then he said that he was kicking in a game and how the ball, he thought he made the field goal and the referees looked at each other and waved it off. And he goes, if that was a home game, it would have counted. What? Now you're questioning the integrity of CFL official referees. See, I'm getting worked up. I knew when I came in here I was going to get worked up. So, again, if it's that bad, quit. Welcome to life. Welcome to pro sports, entertainment, whatever you're going to be used, abused, mistreated, taken advantage of. But you get into it knowing that. It's fun.
Yeah.
And when it stops being fun, that's when you need to leave. And I've got so many young broadcasters saying the same thing to me. Some young athletes, young people in various industries saying the exact same thing. Welcome to life. Go do something else if it's that bad.
There's a couple of things. Like with that, it's tough because there's a reason that he's noticed and that he's getting the opportunity. And if he wants to be a pro football player, understand that there's a lot of kickers out there who can kick the football. They come through college all the time. They come through the CFL. They come through Canadian college and, you know, down in the States, and they're all capable. But there's a reason that he was picked. And maybe it's because of his kicking. But sure, his YouTube and Instagram following and social media stardom might be a big part of it. They might see an alternate benefit to keeping him here, much like we keep Canadians on certain rosters because there's a benefit because you have the right passport in this league. And, that's the way it is. If you want to be a football player, don't complain about it. Use that. No. Understand that, hey, that's why I'm here. But then try and prove yourself that, you know what, I'm more than a YouTube star. Yeah, you see that right now, but I can kick the football. It's trying to have it both ways. Well, I'm a YouTube star and I raise their social media and I should be getting paid for that because my YouTube stuff, you know, makes me this much money and they're only paying me for football. Well, if you want to be a football player, sometimes that's what you have to do. Understand that, okay, circumstance brought you here, but if you want to prove it, you got to prove it on the field.
If it's that bad, leave. And producer Clark is telling me on the monitor, Donald Delahaye is his name. So, I mean, by watching the video, and I said to the guy that sent it to me, I said, clearly he's a funny guy. I think he's a nice guy. I'm sure if I knew him, I'd like him. But stop complaining. Because your video is exactly what's wrong with your generation. Which brings me to Last Chance U. I started watching it last night. I actually stumbled upon it while trying to find Homeland, which we're in season 5 of. You haven't watched Last Chance U yet?
I've seen a little bit of it.
Marshall likes it. I'm actually shocked. Marshall's pumping his fist over there like he's the engineer of a train. I liked it. I didn't love it. We got about 20 minutes into the first. By the way, I found it very confusing to find season 1, episode 1. It was all over the place. This is section 4, part 3. What? Where am I starting here? It was cool enough, but it was, again, why do I not care for Corner Gas? Lived it. Why do I not care for Last Chance U? Lived it. They got combines in cornfields, and then they cut to the field with guys doing reps. It's no different than here. Combines in wheat fields, guys doing reps. I get it's cool to watch. Seen it millions and millions of times. Spitting Chiclets, same thing. Everybody's all the rage about that podcast. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying I've seen it a million times. If I want to hear two hockey guys swearing and spitting on the floor, I'll go down to an adult safe game or go do the SJHL finals again or whatever. You know, yeah. That's all. I know it's very popular, and I think the coach is hilarious. Jason Brown, I think he's outstanding. But I don't know that I'll watch it again. We got 20 minutes in, and my wife's like, can we put it on Homeland now? So we did. Gainer the Gopher. I'm very disappointed in the Riders that they would send out a statement admonishing their Gopher for saying that he crossed the line Saturday against the BC Lions with his stuffed toy. And let me just get into a mini rant. You don't have to tag this for Bronco Plumbing and Heating, but you can if you want. People are ripping me on social media for even covering the Gainer situation. Listen, since Saturday's game, I've had two columns posted on my website at rodpeterson.com. My 10 things of all of week six of the CFL, plus the Out of the Tunnel column going deep into the Riders-Lions game. For reaction. But you talk about Gainer the Gopher and everybody's running around like their hair's on fire. You get it. We're in the click business. We got sponsors coming in here. What are your numbers? What are your numbers? What are your numbers? Oh, but it's great content. They don't care. They want numbers. And the actual football columns get 1/100th of the reaction of any of this Gainer stuff. So I feel sorry for Gainer. It's one of the things I said on Lloydminster Radio this morning. He's been fat shamed by his own club. Now he's been disciplined by his own club. And what did he ever do? Habitually voted the number one mascot in the CFL. It's for a reason, brother. It's for the things that he does on the field, like what he did with the BC Lion toy the other night. And now you're changing him. What are you guys doing? I don't understand what you're doing. And the Swift Current Broncos last night won the internet with a video that they posted out there where Charlie Horse, their beloved mascot, took a tiger, stuffed tiger, of course, their top rivals, the Medicine Hat Tigers, if you don't know, and put on Twitter and said, with all due respect to Gator, this is how you tame a cat. And they picked the thing up and launched it 20 rows onto the ice. It was hilarious. Thank you, Swift Current, for standing up for what's right and the Saskatchewan way. I.e., this is the way we are. If you don't like it, go jump in the lake. That's the way it used to be around here. And in Swift Current, if you want a more Wild West way of doing things, that's Swift Current. So I'm disappointed that the Riders would have to discipline their own mascot because one snowflake in Edmonton who happens to be an Eskimo fan, and I question her stability to begin with if you check her Twitter timeline, is upset at our mascot. It's nothing even to do with you. And you force the Riders to discipline their own mascot who's been doing this for 30 years. I hope I feel better now.
Do you?
Marginally. Oh, Trent, writing us from Norway. It's evening over there. Back in Norway after a family trip to Denmark and Germany. Support Gainer. Riders, let Gainer be. Forget about being politically correct. That is from Norway chiming in on the Gainergate. The latest Gainergate. Oh, and by the way, that's enough for the opening warm-up here on the program. Marshall Hamilton will join us next. We've got actual football to talk about today because that's what everybody wants. On all these shows across the land that I'm on, people are saying, what's the mood in the Rider Nation after the big win over the BC Lions Saturday night? We'll talk about that, okay?
Yeah.
The BC Lions have signed two CFL veterans, potentially trying to follow the path of 2011 when they started 1-5, signed two CFL veterans, and it sparked them on their way to winning the Grey Cup that very same year. We'll talk about that with Marshall and a whole lot more. This has been the warm-up. This is the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live, rodpeterson.com, and podcasts at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify.
Employee pricing is back.
Yeah, it's my favorite time of the year.
You pay what I pay.
We get amazing discounts when we buy a car.
And this month, you can too.
Car, truck, SUV, doesn't matter.
You pay what we pay.
Get savings up to $19,000 on new Ford F-150s. They're starting as low as $32,999 plus tax. And no one has more of them than Capital Ford.
It's like you work here,
but you don't have to.
You pay what we pay.
Houston, we have a problem.
Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse is a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
All right, welcome back to the program. Tuesday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room. Right in the heart of the Dewdney Strip. Blue Jays lefty Ryan Baraki made his season debut after missing the first 4 months of the season with inflammation in his throwing elbow. It didn't go well, though, as he pitched just 4 2/3 innings in a 7-3 loss to the Cleveland Indians at Rogers Center. Toronto's Billy McKinney had a 2-run homer. The Twins pulled off a first-inning triple play in their series and opener against the Yankees. With men on first and second, Edwin Encarnacion hit a sharp grounder to third baseman Luis Arias, who stepped on the bag and whipped the ball to second in the same motion. The relay to first beat Edwin by a step. Minnesota went on to win 8-6. A new NHL arena in Calgary is closer to becoming a reality. The city, the Flames, and the Calgary Stampede Association have agreed on terms for an event center that would become the new home for the Flames and replace the 36-year-old Saddle Dome. City Council has yet to ratify the deal, but details were released Monday night to the public. The estimated cost of the 19,000-seat venue is $500 million. Bravo, Calgary! Stay on this course. Don't screw it up. Marshall Hamilton joins us, Stamps and Riders alum, just on the Gainer thing here. Curtis writing in on the Facebook wall. Curtis Faromsky. Hey, Rod, I'm sorry, but what Gainer did to that stuffed animal was a little over the line, and I'm a Rider and Gainer fan. I don't think the old Gainer did anything like what new Gainer did last weekend. No, he's been doing it for 30 years. Sorry, my dude. I've been going to those games. I've been on the sidelines. I went with my dad in the early 80s in Section 10. He's been doing it for 30 years. Secondly, if the stuffed toy has as big a problem as everybody else, maybe the stuffed toy should go to police and press charges. Think about that for 1 second and let it sink in, okay? Marshall Hamilton, welcome to the program. Marshall Legs Hamilton, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I kind of wish it was July the 11th, which is 7-Eleven day, and free Slurpees at 7-Eleven.
Wouldn't that be nice?
You could use one today. Like, you're just so, you're hot under the collar, and it's only been 15 minutes into the program. So I'm excited to see you're fired up, and I'll try to bring this to a level, logical, rational approach, which I usually take.
Okay.
I'm doing good, though. Thanks.
Frozen diabetes juice Slurpees. Which, by the way, I went for one on Sunday. It was so hot after the Dragon Boat Festival, and they didn't. The Dr. Pepper was just like actual Dr. Pepper coming out of the Slurpee machine, like actual pop. I'm like, no!
I gave up Slurpees probably 5 or 7 years ago just because, like you said, they're just so full of sugar. They're diabetes
but
machines.
But they're outstanding.
Well, but on a day like today, you should have one.
Yeah, no kidding. Thank you. I will. I'll grab one with Big Bird. So, I promised the football talk. This is what the people across the country want to know. What's the mood in the Rider Nation with the win? What are the people saying in your travels since Saturday?
I think people are optimistically excited, but I think Saskatchewan fans, I know Saskatchewan fans are sophisticated enough to know that, hey, this was a battle for fourth place. This wasn't a battle for first place, and it was only their second win. It was a nice one, but you know, I'll always look at things objectively, and objectively look at that thing. And in my opinion, other than the kickoff return by Thigpen for a touchdown, they were being outplayed through the first three quarters by the BC Lions, who aren't a very good football team. So, you know, for people to think that, oh, we're on our way to the cup. Well, I'd like to think so, but realistically, no, we're a team that has a lot of areas to improve. They played really well in the fourth quarter. Defensively, I thought they were very impressive, especially in the fourth quarter. And they found a way to win, but they found a way to win at home. So I'm not answering this question yet, but now they got to play the same team that outplayed them for three of the four quarters at their home park. And they're probably going to be frothing at the mouth to get back on even terms because they got embarrassed by the Saskatchewan Roughriders in the fourth quarter. And Mike Riley, I have never seen probably any quarterback, especially a veteran like Mike Riley, look so beaten up. He's been sacked, I think, 21 times this year by different teams, including, you know, I think it was four by the Saskatchewan Roughriders and probably three or four of those by Charlton Hughes alone. But Mike Riley, a really great leader and a really great quarterback, just looks beaten down. Not beaten up, but beaten up and beaten down emotionally. You could just see how frustrated he was with how much he's getting hit.
Well, the question that I got was what's the mood in the Rider Nation? That's your take on the win. That's not everybody's mood. That's yours, which is good. Where I've been, which is everywhere in the last 3 days, everybody's deliriously happy with the win and a lot of gainer talk. But the football people are kind of saying the same thing you are, and that, hey, there's some mistakes. There's a lot of things on film. And what about the fake on the fake that they didn't have 27 eligible and it went for naught on a play where John Ryan displayed his passing skills and it worked. And then the Riders, unfortunately, overlooked a small detail and had to punt the ball. What do you think about that?
That one was really confusing. I mean, I was confused at the stadium when I was watching it live and hearing the explanation from the referee. And then I went home, and the next morning I watched it on my TV on a PVR. That's the kind of fan I am. So I heard the explanation again from the referee, and then I heard the explanation that apparently came up to the booth to Glenn Suter to explain. And even after hearing that, I'm not sure I understand what happened, but it looks like what they did was when they put in their card, they put in that number 27 would be playing an ineligible position, so he became an ineligible number. And even though he was lined up in what would traditionally be, I think he was lined up as a tight end, he would be eligible. He wasn't because of the card. So you can't blame that on Keenan LaFrance. You blame that one as a clerical error on somebody on the Rough Riders management team.
Right. And somebody was saying to me over the last couple of days, well, it's a dumb rule. It's the rule.
Right. You still got to follow it.
You still got to follow it. Exactly. So I just think had the Riders lost the game, we would not have heard the end. Gainer would not be the number one topic around here had the Riders lost the game. And who was it? Was it yesterday? Somebody said it was so early in the game that it didn't matter. There's only so many plays in the game.
Yeah.
It's important.
Every play matters.
What if it was in a Grey Cup game?
It'd be huge.
But I guess, is that not what the regular season's for, I guess? A dress rehearsal for the playoffs and to learn lessons.
Yeah. But the bad news is, other than the fact that the play didn't count, is now they've shown that play
right to
the other eight teams in the Canadian Football League, and guess what they're going to be ready for? They're going to be ready for that. And if they weren't, they should have been ready for that anyway, because John Ryan did almost that exact play when he was with the Seattle Seahawks for a touchdown against, I think it was the Green Bay Packers, probably 5 or 6 years ago. So they knew that was in John Ryan's, they should have known that was in John Ryan's repertoire, and certainly now in the Canadian Football League, they know it now.
A couple items before we continue on this. Our poll question today has come via Les Lazaruk, the voice of the Saskatoon Blades. And I should mention, yesterday's poll question was who won the Oilers-Flames trade for Lucic, James Neal. Resounding winner, the Edmonton Oilers, is what our respondents are saying, our viewers and listeners, of which we have many in both of those cities. Today, the question comes from Les Lazaruk, who we debated even using this question yesterday. It's brought to you by Capital Auto Mall and Universal Collision Center. Which quarterback would you rather have right now, considering their age, their contract, the stage of their career, just everything, right? Not on pure talent. Cody Fajardo, Vernon Adams Jr., Bo Levi Mitchell, or Mike Riley? And on our Facebook poll, you can vote on there or on our Twitter feed, the runaway winner is Cody Fajardo. Let me say it again. Of these four, which would you rather have, considering their contracts? Cody Fajardo, Vernon Adams Jr., Bo Levi Mitchell, or Mike Riley? As a matter of fact, in order of rank, it's Cody Fajardo 1, respondents want the most, Bo Levi 2, Mike Riley 3, and a distant 4th, Vernon Adams Jr. So, gentlemen, despite the heroics of VA out in Montreal, people like Cody. At least our viewers and voters do.
I think a lot of that is obviously Rider fans on the page. We're comfortable. We're happy with our starting quarterback. We've seen enough out of him now, I think, that we're starting to feel a little bit more secure about him as the future of this team. I mean, he looked good against Ottawa. You know, had the Toronto game. Yeah, the Calgary game was an anomaly, but he showed that he could bounce back from that, too, with a good effort last week against BC. But, I mean, we still don't know about the $700,000 quarterback. We don't know if that model is going to work. We don't know because we haven't seen enough of Bo Levi in the lineup yet to see how they're going to manage that situation. We don't know if BC's got enough talent around Mike Riley. If clearly the O-line is an issue and there's other things. So we don't know if the $700,000 quarterback can work. But today, without knowing that still, I'd still have to think it'd be Bo Levi or Mike Riley because how can you not want one of the top two quarterbacks in the game?
That's why it's such a fascinating question.
It is.
And I think, Marshall, you've been thinking about it ever since.
Yeah, well, I've only been thinking about it for the last 10, 15 minutes. But my first reaction when I heard the question was, that's a complicated question. And most poll questions are fairly simple. This one's complicated because it's not a matter of do you want A, B, C, or D. It's do you want A, B, C, or D? But here's some conditions we're putting on these things because we're factoring in age and salary and those kinds of things. So for me, I mean, if I was voting, I'd probably still vote for Bo Levi Mitchell, even though he's the highest salary. But he's still relatively young. Yeah, he's injured right now. But I think if you had done this poll a week ago or 2 weeks ago before the bye, right after Fajardo looked pretty ordinary against Calgary, I don't think Fajardo would be nearly as high as he is right now. But yeah, we're euphoric because we just came off a win. We just came off a game that Cody Fajardo, I thought, played really well in. And I'd like to come back and talk about that later. But I still think Bo Levi Mitchell is the class quarterback in the Canadian Football League, followed by Mike Riley. Mike Riley's older, so I'd clearly give the nod to Bo Levi Mitchell. But it's a complicated question, but I'll still go with Bo.
Mm-hmm. And he's not even playing. And as a matter of fact, somebody wrote in this morning and asked, what's the latest on Bo Levi's injury? And Darren, you're on top of that one?
Yeah. Apparently getting a cortisone shot in his pectoral muscle today in LA. So that's the latest on that injury. And like you had said earlier, it just seems more and more like he's probably going to sit the full 6 games. And probably get reevaluated after the 5th one or, you know, moving into that final game as to if they have to keep him on that list a little bit longer or if he's ready to come back.
And I think that's the right thing to do. I think I said this on this program a week ago or 2 weeks ago. I mean, if I'm John Huffnagel and Dave Dickinson, is it more important for Bo Levi Mitchell to play games 3, 4, and 5, or is it more important for him to play games 15, 16, 17, and 18 and into the playoffs?
Yeah.
And clearly the answer is the latter. So it's not like they're in a panic situation because they don't have a quarterback and they think, oh, if we don't win some games now, we're not going to make the playoffs. I think they're pretty confident in their backup. I think Arbuckle, and I think they're pretty confident that they're going to make the playoffs because they still have a strong football team and they know they're playing in the Western Conference. And they probably, I don't mean this in an arrogant way, but they probably think, well, we're better than BC and Saskatchewan for sure. So they're not worried about making the playoffs. They're just worried about getting Bo Levi Mitchell healthy. And this is a good opportunity for, you call him Fatty Arbuckle. I don't think that's his real name, but they...
It's
they,
Nick, but you will always remember Fatty.
Yes. So I think they're comfortable, and they like the fact that they're giving Arbuckle some opportunities to get some playing time and some good, valuable experience. So the cortisone shot thing, I'm not a doctor, but that doesn't bother me. That's a little bit like getting, you know, an injection that will just help to speed up the healing process. So I think Bo will be fine, but I think he'll sit out the full 6.
So the beautiful thing about this morning coffee get together. Right after I read this Mike Booth comment, can you put up the Ty Dacu one? What I love about it is everybody's joining the conversation with us with their coffee. From Mike in Fort McMurray, watching this morning. He says, I feel like Allen Iverson with all this Gainer stuff. We don't want to talk about the game. Not the game, but a gopher. We're talking about a gopher.
That's pretty good.
Don't blame me. That's what everybody's asking me about. You have to give the people what they want. How many times have I said that, Darren? You have to give them what they want. Don't jam stuff down their throats that they don't want.
From, and I would bet if you did a poll of the 31,000 or so people that were at the game, they say, do you think Gainer went over the line with what he did? You'd probably have 99.9% would say, no, I loved it. But
exactly.
The Riders put out an announcement to say that he's being disciplined for it or whatever they said.
Yep.
That's absurd.
It's
a gopher.
It's disappointing. It's a stuffed toy. I'm disappointed the Riders would feel the need to even address this. Be bigger.
Yeah, if he went up and kicked the referee in the crotch.
You can do that in the CFL now.
Who, the gopher can?
Well, didn't Winston Rose do that? We didn't kick him in the groin, but pushed him over the...
Yeah, I mean, if you're disrespecting a human being, that's one thing, but a stuffed toy, come on.
I know, right? Tyler Dacu in the news today, a YouTube star, is upset he can't be a pro football player just because he wants to be. And a fake animal is being defended by a fake activist. 2019. This destroying video is going to go over a million videos now. Because everybody's talking about him complaining that he is the Argos' third-string kicker and is making no money. Then quit! Go back to Florida!
I can't even believe they have a third-string kicker.
I know.
I mean, most teams have one, maybe two. But to have a third-string kicker, and if he's complaining about what he's making, he's probably on the practice roster making $500 a week, which is not a lot of money, but it's not chump change for being a third-string kicker. And my advice to that kicker, I don't even know his name, but if you want to be the second-place kicker or the first-string kicker,
be better.
Stop worrying about YouTube and start worrying about getting the ball between the uprights.
Ding, 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 ding. Right. Marshall injecting the comment of the day. Nashville and Saskatoon texts in on the Prairie Mobile text line. He says, all these football players complain about things. Destroying is just highlighted now because of the following he has. Nobody likes the practice roster, but that's where everyone has to start. Welcome to life. Do we have David Naylor next? Dave Naylor of TSN joins us after this timeout. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and Apple Podcasts and iHeartRadio.
Enjoying the show? Why not join the team? We're exploding and in the market for a new top six forward. Have sales experience and ready to join a new team? Free agency is open and we want to hear from you or your agent. Send us an email to careers@dupontmedia.ca and submit your resume today. Do you have what it takes?
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Sports Talk on Demand. Head to rodpeterson.com to access all of the content you may have missed or want to hear again. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
All right, we're back at our Tuesday Morning in the Bunker, episode number 37 of the program today. We always like to highlight our favorite number 37s. I didn't even Google 37s of all time.
Silas McKinney.
Nice. Who's Silas McKinney?
Well, see, that's how young you are. Silas McKinney was a really good running back with the Riders back, probably in the Lancaster Reed era.
It got me beat. They had a running back in the Lancaster era. His name was George Reed.
I said Lancaster Reed era.
I know.
But Silas McKinney.
How good could he have been?
He was a speed guy, so he would have complimented George Reed's thundering, you know, put your head down and get 5 yards every crack.
You know that I'm just teasing you, of course.
I know.
Mine's Josh Harding. Were you quickly Googling 37s?
I don't have a 37. Yesterday, I had the bus, Jerome Bettis, for 36.
Yeah, you nailed that one.
And I thought, I asked the question, like, wasn't Priest Holmes 37? He was 31, and I just was looking Priest Holmes, because 31 almost looks like a...
Famous,
you know,
number 37s. What's your favorite? This is episode number 37 of the Rod Peterson Show. Producer Clark saying his is Trevor Kidd of the Toronto Maple Leafs. So there's a lot of 37s out there, but mine will remain Josh Harding. We had David Naylor, apparently, and then the connection broke up. So Clark's going to let me know as soon as we have him. So I will move on to the next. Who's worse, the BC Lions or the Toronto Argonauts? By record, it would be the Argos, but a lot of people are saying it's the BC Lions. This is the teams that the Riders have beat for their two wins.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, yeah. I think Toronto has more talent at the high end level, but they've got sort of high end talent and low end talent and not enough in the middle. And, you know, but I think they will start to build as the season goes on and will start to improve. The difference between those two teams, in my opinion, other than that, is quarterback. They don't have the good, experienced quarterback that the BC Lions have. But if the BC Lions don't start protecting Mike Riley, they're not going to have a great quarterback either, because Mike Riley's going to get hurt. I said this earlier in the program. I've never seen a quarterback of a veteran like that look so beat up and beat down at the same time. He's just been hit so many times. I mean, 21 sacks is a lot of sacks for a season. And he's been sacked that through the first third of the season. And that doesn't even count all the sacks that weren't counted because of penalties. I mean, I think Edmonton sacked him 3 or 4 times that aren't on the record books because they could call back for roughing the passer or something like that. I'd probably pick, if I had to pick between those two, I'd probably pick Toronto. I think BC's got too many holes.
You're saying Toronto's worse?
No, I think Toronto's the better. So BC's the worst, in my opinion, because they can't predict. They can't protect their franchise quarterback. And they spent, you know, whatever it is, 15% of their budget on one guy, their quarterback. And then they don't protect that investment. So that would put them in last for me.
Yeah, I mean, I want to lean to the Lions being in a better spot because they've got a quarterback, and we talk about you need a quarterback to win. You can't win without a quarterback in this league, but you're right, they can't protect him. I do think Toronto's got more talent, especially offensively, the weapons in that receiving core. But Toronto, to me, seems like there's just more dysfunction, you know, with the penalties and the mental mistakes and the turnovers. And if they could get out of their own way, they could be a very talented football team and have some success, especially out east. So, because of Mike Riley and because I think a little bit less when it comes to chaos and a little bit of disorder, I'm going to say BC's in a better spot right now to get out of it.
So I know we're jumping all over the place. Welcome inside my mind. But on the Facebook wall, Kyle Halverson's written in. Number 37, Sean Alexander.
Yes.
Seahawks, great running back. My brother texting. He's either listening or watching this morning. The Cowboy. His actual nickname is Cowboy. He says number 37, Roger Goree.
Yep. Played with Roger.
I was going to say, he would be right around your era. Yep. I had the honor of inducting Roger Goree into the Plaza of Honor. Well, I was the MC that night. I can't remember who gave the speech. But so we're asking for your all-time favorite number 37s on the 37th episode of the Rod Peterson Show. We've got the connection now with TSN's David Naylor. So let's head out to the six right now and bring in Dave on video conference. There he is. Good afternoon, Dave. How are things in Toronto?
Pretty good. I mean, the Argonauts aren't here, so I guess that's, you know, they're out west. So things in Toronto are just fine. If the Argonauts were here, we'd say they're not so good. Tough start to the year for Toronto, and it may not get any easier soon.
Can you, let's start with the Argos. The video's choppy, but you're sounding just fine, so let's roll. You wrote a column here on what the Argos should do. Do you want to recap that for our viewers and listeners?
Which one in particular? Because I've written a few here.
Either or. What do you think the Toronto Argonauts need to do to either, you know, get a pulse in the market or get a win, whichever is most important for them?
Well, the frustrating thing, look, they've played better on defense of late. And I think you've seen, you know, from the debacle, the opening game against Hamilton, there's been better fundamental tackling, just better containment, all those kinds of things. Offensively, they haven't been any better football team. And look, I know that there's often a knee-jerk reaction to when a team does well, it's all on the quarterback, and when a team doesn't do well, it's all on the quarterback. But the thing that I keep coming back to with this team, I start going through the offensive personnel. I mean, like, you look at, you know, again, just by reputation, I'm taking this by people who, you know this stuff better than I do. Ryan Bombas, one of the two or three great cup competing teams in Calgary. Tyler Holmes is a quality player. I mean, that's a good offensive line, you know, and that's playing by resume and is playing fairly well. You know, Darrell Walker's their number one receiver. A lot of people acknowledge him as the best receiver in the league. Armani Edwards, you know, Jim Pop says to me, is a better player now than when he was in the National Football League. S.J. Green, if he's your number three, he's not the S.J. Green of 5 years ago. But again, that's a pretty good number three option. Levi Noel, you know, who was a Canadian, was leading their team in receiving after three games. James Wilder, I think we've seen, is proven, although he hasn't done it in a while. So I go position by position around that offense, and I look at it and say, this isn't bad personnel. This shouldn't be a putrid, horrible offense. So, okay, where does that take us back to? Well, it also takes us back to the quarterback, which, again, I think it's been acknowledged that last year.
Whoa, did an earthquake just hit Toronto? And he was sounding so great.
Yeah.
Now, listen, we're going to try and bring him back in. I'm very much agreeing with what Dave's saying. To take it one step further, if you watch their game Thursday in Calgary, who are the ones fumbling the ball? Who are the ones missing tackles? Who are the ones, well, that aside, giving up the ball and turning it over is Vets. And it's McLeod Bethel-Thompson who's throwing four interceptions. He's not Ricky Ray. I just don't know, Marshall, how you pin this on Corey Chandler. And I'm not saying Dave is, but the Vets aren't making plays. End of story. Corey would pay at the end of the year if this doesn't turn around. But right now, I don't think it's on him.
Yeah, I agree for the most part that it's a veteran issue. The veterans, both in terms of their play and in terms of their leadership in the locker room. But in defense of the other side of it, Corey Chamberlain losing it on the sidelines with one of his players, that's not cool. And when you do that, you don't just lose the respect of the one player you're chewing out, you lose the respect of a lot of the other players on the roster because they're all watching that. If they're not watching it live, they're watching it when the tape gets played back and so on. So that wasn't cool. But, you know, I think Corey Chamberlain will acknowledge that, hey, I gotta have a better game face. I gotta be a better leader. I gotta lead in the good times and the bad times, and I'm also going to be appealing to my veteran players and saying, you guys need to help me out here. You guys need to help me out with this locker room, and help us get this thing turned around.
So, Dave Naylor, you just heard that from Marshall Hamilton. How much of this does Chame wear versus how much does Jim Pop wear for not having an adequate quarterback to replace Ricky Ray? And three, how much do the players wear, these vets that aren't making plays?
Well, I think the veterans have to wear some of it. But again, I guess the question is, are they getting adequate play at the quarterback position? Well, you know, and I think there's a pretty good argument that they're not.
Rough one this morning with Dave Naylor.
Yeah, haven't had one of those in a while.
Yeah, well, not with him. The last time he was on, he was perfect. So, Clark, you guys hang up. You deal with that. We'll continue with the issues out here where he was, where we left off with the Toronto Argonauts.
Well, yeah, and I was watching, you know, I watched a lot of that game actually right here in the studio. And it was at the third quarter. They had a really nice drive, and they were really using all of their weapons. They used Walker. They used S.J. Green. They used Armani Edwards. They used James Wilder Jr. in the backfield. And they looked like they could play with anybody in the CFL. They've got the talent. They've got the weapons. The play calling was good when they're making plays and there's no mental errors. But, yeah, you're right. Sometimes with Chame losing it on the sidelines or with some of the mistakes, the veterans letting the ball go, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of mental resolve or a lot of that, I don't know,
focus,
ability to get through tough decisions. As soon as there's one hiccup, it seems to snowball, and you have to be mentally strong to get through of those situations.
So I have a tough time feeling sorry for the Toronto Argonauts in that they won the Grey Cup 2 years ago. Two, they've got gazillions of dollars in the bank account because they're owned by MLSC, so they'll be fine. This isn't the 90s, Marshall, where we're worried about teams folding. I mean, I have those concerns about the Montreal Alouettes, although it looks like they're going to be saved here by new suitors. But on the radio this morning, out-of-town market interview that I was doing, they asked if the Winnipeg Blue Bombers are the best team in the CFL. I said, why do you ask questions that you know the answers to? Of course they're the best team in the CFL. They're undefeated, 5-0 for the first time since 1960. I'm hoping that they win the Grey Cup, and it's got to the point now where people are saying, hey, what are we going to say? We can't say hashtag 1990 anymore. You know, if they win the Grey Cup, and these aren't Winnipeg people. These are fans of other teams across the league saying, hey, they're going to win the Grey Cup. The drought's going to fall now on the Hamilton Tiger Cats, which goes back to 1998. They'll be the next longest drought in the CFL after the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. I didn't see a snap of the game when they beat Ottawa the other night. What was it, 38-1, something like that? I was at the Red Sox game, which was lovely. I enjoyed it. But Marshall, I assume you watch that because you watch every game.
Watch them all.
Is Winnipeg getting better every week? It would seem that they are.
Yeah, I would say they're getting better, but not leaps and bounds better, because I thought they were good right at the beginning. The thing about Winnipeg that I like the most, and my answer to the question would be, yes, they are the best team in the Canadian Football League. But you can say this every year with some team or two, they're the best team right now. And the team that wins the Grey Cup isn't the best team at the third of the way through the third pole mark. It's at the end of the season when you're getting ready to play into the playoffs and you're getting for the games where win or go home. Winnipeg has such depth. I mean, if you ask me right now who's playing probably the poorest of all of their great stars, it's probably Medlock, their kicker. And Medlock is probably the best kicker in the league next to, you know, is it Jason? What's Ward's name, first name?
Lewis.
Lewis Ward out in Ottawa, who's on an incredible streak. But Medlock is a great punter. Medlock is a great kicker. And he's missed a few. He's looked human. But everybody else is looking really, really good. I mean, they've got a good quarterback. They've got a really good running back. They've got a really good defense coached by Richie Hall. They've got fantastic special teams, other than Medlock missing a couple of kicks. And I haven't even mentioned Adam Big Hill, who's sitting on the sidelines, resting his body, getting ready for coming in later and dominating, because he's a dominant force as a middle linebacker for the Bombers. They are a team that can beat you many, many different ways. And there's no holes. There's not a hole on that team that I can see.
Wayne writing in on the Facebook wall. He's driving back to Victoria, BC. He's currently in the Calgary area. He says, Rod, are you really anointing Winnipeg the Grey Cup in July? Why not? They are. Come on. I mean, you can literally set your watch by the Grey Cup parade planning in July in Winnipeg. It doesn't usually tend to work out that way in the end. But for their sake, I hope that it does. And Clark saying, we're going to try it one more time with David Naylor in Toronto. And I appreciate David's patience making this. I don't know what the technology is, video chat, but they say we got him now. Hey, Dave.
Hey.
Yeah, are we going to move on from the Argos to our next topic, or is there more you wanted to talk about there?
just real quick, what I was going to say there is just that they do run an offensive scheme under Jacques Chapdelaine that is not easy to pick up, or so I'm led to believe. And it, you know, right now it looks like the timing is off. It looks like everybody's not on the same page. And whether it's the scheme or whether it's the veteran players or whether it's the quarterback play, as I say, you know, look around the league right now. Look at the teams that are winning. Look at the quarterback play they're getting. When they talk about the Argonauts, they say it straight out. They'll say, you know, these quarterbacks are not good enough to win with. So we'll see if there's a point in time where the McLeod Bethel Thompson can save his job with a performance this week, or we're close to seeing the Argos give Dakota Prukop, their number three, a shot.
You know, if anybody says the CFL season doesn't begin until Labor Day, man, have they missed a lot. This has been a wild season through just 6 weeks. It's been a lot of fun to follow. And he gone.
It's Toronto.
It's a Toronto thing. You got to stay. No, there you are.
Say, it's been
wild opening 6 weeks in the CFL.
It has. Look, I think the football has been pretty good, and I think it's been unpredictable as well. I mean, the Bombers, as I heard you guys talking about, are clearly the class of the league. I mean, they were a very good team. People forget, this was the highest scoring team in the league last year, you know, before they added Lucky Whitehead or Chris Matthews or Kenny Lawler. And I know they lost a couple of pieces off their offensive line, but they backfilled well. And Matt Nichols, who, you know, I think a lot of people wondered what Matt Nichols was going to emerge this year, because I think he was a week away from losing his job last fall when they lost four in a row and they had all the picks. And, you know, there's so much intrigue about Chris Strebler, I think, that the year. And, you know, I think there's a lot of things that could come into play in terms of that. But hey, Nichols has been great. I mean, he's held onto the ball, or held onto the job. He's been efficient. But and I was talking to Henry Burris this morning about this. I said this fact, and I said, "Would you agree with me?" And he said, "Absolutely." Was, you know, when defenses line up against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, they have less of a sense of what the Bombers are going to do than any other team in the league, because they have such a run-pass balance. In terms of, you know, loading up Andrew Harris. And then when they do throw the football, they can do so many different, they can distribute it so many different places, so many different ways. So there's really, I think, you know, compared to Toronto, where, again, not to use this as the obvious example, where, you know, the running game hasn't clicked, McLeod Bethel Thompson isn't a threat to run, and, you know, teams have a much greater certainty of what's going to happen with the football than they do with the Bombers, where, you know, Paul Lapolis's experience, creativity are all, you know, making this team very, very tough to face. And they're more of a quick strike element than they've ever had before. That's you know, this is a team that went to the Western Final last year and didn't score a touchdown with the highest scoring team in the league. You know, that can't happen. And right now they look like the kind of team that not only can kind of steamroll someone, but that they could get. The interesting thing about this Hamilton game, Hamilton has been so high scoring this year. Can they win? That's an interesting question. And the Bombers may have to try to do that this week.
You know, the NFL has a vote every year for the top coordinator. It's a league I wish this, or a vote I wish the CFL had. I think Paul Lapolis might win it, to be honest with you. And I wish that we had a top GM award as well. But anyways, that's a topic for another time. How dire is the situation for the BC Lions, Dave, i.e. this home game Saturday against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders? Is their season on the line here, and it's not even August?
Well, I think it may be, because they're, I don't know if we're going to see a Western crossover. I mean, we've all kind of got accustomed to the idea that, well, you know, you can finish fourth in the West and then you're going to cross over to the East. I'm not sure that's going to be the case this year. So that's one thing I think we shouldn't just assume. And the other thing about, you know, there's one thing about going 0-6, but look, maybe Mike Riley can go an entire season playing, like getting this beaten up and play 18 games, but I wouldn't want to bet on that. And, you know, introductory news conference when Mike Riley was introduced in BC, Ed Hervey said, "I'm not really that interested in talking about who the backup's going to be." Well, they might have to worry about that unless they can figure out a way to protect him. I mean, that has got to be job one, just because, and I don't understand what Mike Riley's doing on the field in a 3-score game, getting the final 2-3 minutes. Apparently he wanted to be there. The risk reward in that situation would seem to be way off balance. But I, you know, that's like, there's the win they got to get, but they got to figure out a way to protect Mike Riley, because otherwise, you know, I think, you know, if they lose him, then their season really is done when you combine it with what their record is. It's been a, you know, we often talk in this league, hey, you know, you get the quarterback in the CFL and that's all you need. Well, they got the quarterback, but, you know, it's not that simple.
Dave, good stuff. I appreciate the check-in here after week six. Enjoy the week seven games, and we'll chat with you here down the road in August.
All right. Sorry for the technical glitches there. We finally got them ironed out there, but have a great show, Rod. See you later.
Pretty sure it's not your fault. Thanks, David. Dave Naylor from the CFL on TSN joining us from Toronto. So we got a lot of things to get through. I assume we have to break, Clark. Is that the word? From Mission Control. All right. We continue with Marshall Hamilton next hour, as well as Ryder and Stamps alum Wes Cates. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Employee pricing is back. These are all pre-owned vehicles. They all have an employee price. You pay what we pay.
Check out this loaded GM-certified pre-owned 2018 Chevy Equinox. It's employee priced at just $22,998 plus tax. Or get into a GM-certified pre-owned fully loaded Cadillac CTS Luxury. It's employee priced at just $35,915 plus tax.
Employee pricing at Capital GMC.
You pay what we pay!
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter, that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
Enjoying the show? Why not join the team? We're exploding and in the market for a new top six forward. Have sales experience and ready to join a new team? Free agency is open and we want to hear from you or your agent. Send us an email to careers@dupontmedia.ca and submit your resume today. Do you have what it takes?
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.